Hallo, herzlich willkommen zum Podcast Wellbeing Anna, dein Podcast für einen gesunden Geist in einem gesunden Körper. Mein Name ist Anna Klasen und heute teile ich ein wundervolles Interview mit dir, das ich mit Kevin Westridge geführt habe. Es ist das erste Interview, das ich auf Englisch geführt habe. Also ich hoffe, dass du Englisch verstehst. Er spricht ganz, ganz wundervolles, deutliches Englisch und es war mir einfach ein riesengroßes Anliegen, Kevin in den Podcast zu holen. Ich habe Kevin vor ungefähr 3,5 Jahren auf Bali kennengelernt, als ich dort wohl mir eine Auszeit genommen habe. Und Kevin ist so eine unglaublich inspirierende Person. Er hat einen sehr, sehr inspirierenden Weg hinter sich, hat in den USA gelebt, ist dann nach Bali gegangen, ist seiner inneren Stimme gefolgt. Und ich will gar nicht so viel vorwegnehmen, aber ich hatte einfach durch ihn, durch eine Zeremonie, die ich mit ihm, ich habe eine Sound-Healing-Zeremonie mit ihm gemacht auf Bali und ich hatte da eine der schönsten Erfahrungen in meinem Leben und deswegen war es einfach für mich so wichtig, ihn in den Podcast zu holen, ihn mit dir zu teilen, sein Wissen mit dir zu teilen, was seine Geschichte ist, wieso seine innere Transformation gestartet ist. Und wir sprechen über das Thema Liebe, warum Liebe alles ist, was existiert, warum es wirklich einfach um Liebe geht. Liebe ist das, was jeder von uns anstrebt. Das ist meine Überzeugung. Alles, was wir im Leben erreichen möchten, ist, weil wir einfach geliebt fühlen wollen, uns geliebt fühlen wollen, weil wir Liebe fühlen wollen, weil wir in liebevollen Beziehung sein wollen, weil wir einfach voller Liebe sein wollen. Und es ist manchmal schwer, in Worte zu fassen, aber Love is everything. Und Kevin spricht so wundervoll über seine Erfahrung und über dieses Thema, wie wir immer bewusster sind und wie wir auch immer bewusster diese bedingungslose Liebe wahrnehmen können. Außerdem spricht er darüber, was Sound Healing bewirken kann, was Sound Healing ist und wie eine Kakaozeremonie dazu beitragen kann, dass wir unsere beste Version von uns leben. Es war ein Interview, es war zum Dahinschmelzen, es war so wunderschön, ihm zuzuhören. Leider war der Ton ab und zu nicht ganz bei 100%. Es gab kleine Nebengeräusche. Lass dich davon bitte nicht beeindrucken. Achte einfach auf seine Worte. Bring deinen Fokus auf seine Stimme und dann wirst du unglaublich viel aus diesem Interview mitnehmen können. Ich wünsche dir ganz, ganz viel Freude und freue mich auf dein Feedback. I'm so honored that I have Kevin Westridge in the podcast today. Kevin, it's so nice to meet you, to see you here. We meet online and we met already 2 times in Bali. And I'm so happy to have you in the podcast, to have your wisdoms, your knowledge. And we will talk about a very, very a very important or the most important topic, I think, today for a healthy, happy life. Mm-hmm. And we're connected through a really, really good friend of mine. We met in Bali when I was there for holiday. And I had a really amazing experience in the Pyramids of Chi, where you work as a teacher. And you are a teacher, therapist, spiritual coach. And I want to start, where did your story begin? I think you lived in the US, you were an entrepreneur, and now you live in Bali. What did happen that there was such a switch, a shift, that you changed your life, like, totally?
Yeah, Anna, it's wonderful to see you again and to be on your podcast. So thank you for inviting me. Wow. There were a couple of events in my life that really sort of created the catalyst for me to leave where I was. The first was in the corporate world many number of years ago. And just very briefly, I had my first spiritual experience, if you want to call it spiritual. And it really woke me up to the fact that, am I really living my truest potential? Am I really living from that most authentic place within me? And back then, this was actually back in 1996. And I realized that I had to leave that environment because it no longer fed me. I no longer, I connected to it. So that was really when it first happened. Then, life kind of went on. I found my way, leaving Chicago to go to Sedona. And I was in Sedona for about 21 years, which is a really magical place. And then what you're referring to, my leaving Sedona after 21 years, I was very comfortable, beautiful house, horses, a place to die for. And I literally, what happens to me is spirit in some form comes to me and says, you're going to be doing this. And I go, really? And it's more of an internal voice or a discomfort that happens within me. That's kind of an eight. And what had happened was, I had this beautiful house. I was doing counseling and workshops. And I also had a landscaping company because I love, gardening, and I love, being in nature. And it so happened that I kept getting information. It's time to go to Bali. It's like, what? Because this has happened to me a couple of times in my life. And what I do now is I try and listen, because what I really ask for is, could I have it with ease and grace instead of, really hard and challenging. So, I really kind of ignored it for a little while, going to Bali, and one of my horses fell on me in a very, very strange accident. No reason, absolutely no reason. And the horse literally fell on top of me. And I was in severe trauma, brain injury, neck, right side of my body broken. And for about 3 months and about five ER visits, I couldn't get rid of the pain. No matter what they gave me, and it stayed with me. And what I know now is when I feel this great level of discomfort or pain, I meditate into it. What do you want from me? What am I not seeing? And when I ask that question very loud and clearly, go to Bali. What? Okay. So at that point, I realized, because I'd started to get different things and feelings about going to Bali. I had friends who were from Bali and so forth. And so it was really very strong. And as a result of that, I literally had friends that would come over and visit me and said, would look at me and say, my God, looks like you're dying. I said, yeah, it kind of feels like it. And having had a near-death experience years before, I realized, okay, if it's my time to go, I'm ready. But it wasn't my time. That basically I was getting the clear guidance to go to Bali. So all of a sudden, I agreed to it, and almost like that, people heard, came and bought everything, the horses. It was as though somebody waved a magic wand, and all of a sudden, everything was gone, and I knew it was my time, that I needed to go to Bali. So I did, and I came to Bali, and it's really a magical story from there. I could share literally for hours. That's literally what I am writing my next book about, is called See. For those who have eyes will see, and those who have ears will hear. It's a continuation. So, but Bali, I came here, and so many wonderful things and so many synchronicities happened that really kept me here. And I'm still here, almost 6 years later. So really a very magical place. Hopefully that answered your question.
Definitely. And our topic is love today, unconditional love. Mm-hmm. And can you say when did your inner path started? So was it with the accident? Was it before? When did the inner path, the inner transformation, your inner work started?
Beautiful question. Honestly, it started when I was a little boy. I knew at a very early age, you know, 5, 6, 7 through the age of 10, I knew that there was something more to this existence than simply, you know, working 7 days a week on a paper route. You know, I used to bury dead birds and do ceremonies and carry people's groceries. And I knew there was a component, and it was really about being present and just, you know, I would tell my family, you guys don't get it. It's about love. And they look at me and go, what? You're going too slow or whatever. So, you know, so I knew it in the beginning. And then I kind of pushed it down because I needed to conform on some level. And then it really reactivated itself from that place of love when I was in Chicago and I was managing Fortune 500 companies. And I had my first awakening, or my first cathartic event that really woke me up and started me on this journey again. And I'll just share briefly, when I had that event, I was doing yoga, meditation, and acupuncture. And the yoga and meditation taught me something that I had never known. And it was a state of peace that I just simply wanted more. I want more of this. And the other was, a friend of mine was an acupuncturist, and she said, you're going to start feeling things. Just let it happen. It's going to be okay. I said, what are you talking about? I manage billion-dollar clients and da-da-da-da-da. And 2 weeks later, I'm on my living room floor in a fetal position, sobbing like a child. I had no idea what was happening. And I listened to what she said. Let it happen. You're going to be okay. And for me, what I have learned from that some 20-odd years ago, that after any kind of catharsis or a release, there's oftentimes a message if we listen. And my message was real clear. I want my mommy. I'm like, what? I'm a grown man. I want my mommy? And what it in essence really did, and I'll shorten this, is it really sent me on a trajectory to learn about parts of myself, which is called the inner child, that wasn't at peace, that was still hurting for some reason. So it really launched me. That was sort of the beginning back in 1996. That really sent me on this trajectory of love. Because one of the questions you had, I'm just going to sort of jump into it, is, you know, about love. How do you really stay in it? How do you cultivate it? How do you nurture it? The easiest way is to remove the obstacles to it, because it's our natural state of being. And what I mean by that is if there are experiences in your life with your mother, your father, siblings, loved ones, romantic relationships that you're still holding on to, and for some reason it creates this dynamic tension within you that you're really not at peace with it, find peace with it. That's how we nurture love, because ultimately love in its beginning stages is self-love. Because true self-love is not egoistic. It's self-fullness. So as we remove those blocks, we get to see that, those states of love and inner love. Because when we're filled with that state or that sense of inner love, kindness, compassion to oneself, you can't do anything but share it with everybody else freely. So, okay, does that make sense?
It makes sense. It's amazing. And I would love to get deep in the topic, what is love? What is unconditional love?
You know, when I came out of my near-death experience some years ago in 2007, I spent a year in what's called the dark night of the soul. And it was a time when I really literally wanted to commit suicide for a year almost every day. I didn't know how to live in the world. Because when I came out of that, I was in a state of what's called samadhi, which is ultimately really satori, but I won't go too much into that. But it really helped me to begin to see love with a different set of eyes, where unconditional love, and it was a poem that I had read during this year period that I suffered a lot And there was a poem that really threw me a lifeline. And her name was Courtney Walsh, and it's in my last book entitled Trust, Patience, Surrender, Moments of Illumination and Grace. And she said, "Dear humans, you have it all wrong. You think you're trying to cultivate unconditional love. You came from it. You are going back to it. You are here to learn every other kind of love. Hot love, sweaty love, universal love, redemptive love, all different kinds of love in this beautiful human form. And then once more return to unconditional love, because that's our natural state." So again, unconditional love is about removing the obstacles and cultivating whatever it is that you view in your daily life that's loving.
How do we reach or be aware of a constant feeling of love? Do you think it's possible for a human being to be aware in this awareness of unconditional love?
Don't forget, we're still human. We have feelings, and you know, we've been given them for a reason. Okay. You know, we're here, that this world is what is called a world of duality. Hot, cold, light, dark, good, bad, all of those things. Can we stay in a constant state of unconditional love? When you become enlightened, yes. But as a human, can we touch moments of it? I mean, really profoundly, yes. We're still human. We're still going to feel. We're still going to have challenges. We'll still have emotions. You know, the difference is, what do you do with them when they arise? For instance, anger. Do you stay in it, take it out on others? Or do you stop and ask yourself, why am I angry? What's going on inside of me? And then meet it with unconditional love. Because that's one of the quickest ways to bring us out of disharmony, is to really, whenever we're in it, I always share with people that I work with a really powerful affirmation or a mantra. And it's this: what can I do in this moment that's most loving for me? And listen. Because that's unconditional love. It won't give you some harsh response. It'll say, go for a walk, take a shower, take a bath, do something loving, or be kind. Okay? So what in this moment can I do that's most loving for me? Because when you ask that question, when you're doing the most, the kindest, most compassionate and loving act for yourself, you're doing it for everyone around you.
True. Okay. I heard, or I learned also another question, what was often really helpful for me when you don't know what mm-hmm. to do or don't know how to handle a situation. What would love do? Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same. So what would love do? What would be the answer of love for the situation, for the problem, whatever it is? Do you have an example for our audience? Maybe an example for your question, what can I do in this moment that is most loving for me? Do we have an example for you or in general?
You know, oftentimes when a really good a gauge for this is when someone gets into a situation where what it's called triggered, where your emotional response is greater than what's happening. Okay, that tells you something. That tells you that there's something out of balance within you, which is a really good indicator. And could be around, you know, oftentimes people get into relationships and it's the same kind of relationship over and over and over. And it's like, why did I do this again? you know, kind of a thing. Instead of really kind of stopping for a moment and, you know, really reviewing the relationship, what were the red flags that you saw? Those things that, oh, maybe I shouldn't have entered into it. So in other words, to take you back into the situation, it could be just as simple as, you know, a family member that's triggered you for many years. Okay. All they are is a mirror. They're a mirror to you, telling you that there's something out of balance within you. Okay. And when that happens, just stop and, okay, if you can begin to look at it with a different set of eyes, it's really hard that we need to seek someone else out, whether it be a therapist, a good friend, an uncle or an aunt or mother or father, who's kind of a wisdom figure that you can kind of bounce things off of and, you know, say, what do you see that I'm not seeing? And the key is to be open to listening. Because that's what keeps us stuck in a pattern of behavior, is simply not being open. Okay? So try and find someone, ask yourself the question, really look at, you know, the relationship. Oftentimes what we do is we're in pain. We just want to rush right into a new one so that we can kind of push the pain away. But we continue the same pattern. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And how can healing, something like sound healing, what I did with you, or inner work, or ceremonies, like cacao ceremonies, what you'd also do, how can these tools can help to reach like awareness of love, or just to be a better you, to be the best version of yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful question. When you look at the most basic element of all existence, it is sound and vibration, music. Okay? So it's really interesting that you had an experience and it touched you. I've done this for thousands of people. And I have seen many, many, many things happen from people spontaneously transforming to people coming into realizations of what I just talked about. I'll give you a perfect example. A young woman came out and she was in tears and I knew something was going on and I said, what's happening? And she said, I have that thing stuck in my throat. I can't speak. What do you mean you can't speak? She goes, I don't know what it is. So I said, let's sit down. And I asked her two questions. And I asked her, what in the world are you not speaking that you know you need to? Okay. And we all have it. We kind of stuff it and push it down because we want to be loved. We don't want to be left behind. So oftentimes we'll stuff it. And I looked at her and I said, say it out loud now. She said, I don't know what it is. I said, yes, you do. And she looked at me not even a second later. She goes, I know what it is. I said, good. Say it in front of me right now. She goes, I can't. I said, well, there's the door. I can't help you. I said, but if you say it, I'll hold the space with you. And all of a sudden, she began to speak it. First time in her life, ever out loud, and even more so in front of another human being. And she said it very quietly. And I said, no, I want to hear it. And then a little bit louder, a little bit louder, a little bit louder. And all of a sudden, she's almost screaming it. And it was beautiful because what happened was I could literally see the energy. I could see her facial expression change from tears and being frightened to a big smile and her eyes just glowing. And she said, I didn't know it could be that easy. I said, yep, it is sometimes. So, you know, beautiful example. And I've seen this many, many, many times with people from the heart to the throat to many aspects of human beings. Yeah.
I had also my experience after or during your sound healing. I was in Bali, I think it was 3.5 years ago, the first time where I joined your sound healing. And it was amazing. I think I also felt in sleep, but it's like mm-hmm. you are there, you're not aware of the sound, but I don't know how to explain in English, but mm-hmm. your body is aware of this sound healing. And after, when I wanted to go out of the pyramid, mm-hmm. you stayed there, and your partner, your guide, a woman, mm-hmm. and she just said, "Hello, sister." And I don't know, it I felt this unconditional love in this moment, and my tears went out of my eyes. I didn't know how to handle my mm-hmm. my beautiful emotions. And I had this feeling like really everything is fine. Nothing had to change to mm-hmm. for me. I just loved everything, everyone, everything. And it held on for, yeah, not only this moment, but for minutes. And mm-hmm. it was amazing. So it really changed my view. It changed my feeling. And I have it deep in my heart, this experience. And I know that really deep transformation is possible through inner work, sound healing, like cacao ceremonies, like ecstatic dancing. There are so many mm-hmm. tools you can do. And yeah, maybe you want to explain what do you do in the pyramids of Chi? There are so many tools, mm-hmm. so many ceremonies you do. Maybe you can a little bit talk about the pyramids of Chi.
Sure. The pyramids of Chi is a really very powerful place, and pyramids in and of themselves are really magical. It is the only really repeated sacred geometry or design for thousands and thousands of years is the pyramid. And it's believed that it creates a field of energy. Okay. It's a whole other topic of conversation. You combine that with sound healing, and we use gongs primarily, and I'll talk about ceremonies in a second. Is the beautiful thing about gongs is they're second to the human voice in terms of the number of octaves and overtones that they can create. The human voice is the most powerful. So the other thing about gongs and the instruments that we use, whether it's an indigenous powwow drum, you know, singing bowls, tingxia bells, and a lot of different instruments, the gongs actually can take you from a state of brainwave activity that's called beta. It's very active. We're thinking, we're doing, we're creating. And it can take you to a state of what's called theta or theta, which is a very, very slow brainwave activity. Okay. Oftentimes, as you mentioned, people go to sleep. Great, go to sleep. Because the brain is not trying to figure out what's happening. You just receive. That's what can be really powerful. So the gongs can take you from beta to theta instantaneously. Okay? It quiets the mind. Otherwise, if you're trying to quiet your mind, and the quickest way to see if your mind is really quiet is to sit for 5 minutes and see if you can just follow your breath without a thought coming in. Won't happen. So the beautiful thing is it can take you from that state of beta, very, very relaxed, very, very active, to very, very quiet, okay, very, very quickly. So, and again, the base element of all existence in the universe is sound and vibration. Just like the frequency of Mother Earth, 7.84 hertz. Science knows it. Astronauts know it. It's the sound of Om, okay? You know, in spiritual studies, Om is very powerful. You look at, you know, a spectrum, oscilloscope that an electrician uses, that uses that piece of machinery, it's calibrated to Om. Not really from a spiritual sense that they're aware of, but from a mechanical. So really powerful. Ceremonies that I do, things that I've created, I've learned over my life, I do many things. As you mentioned, the cacao ceremony. Cacao in and of itself has been a sacred medicine, which is natural. It's cacao. It's the most rawest form of chocolate. And when the body ingests it, the body recognizes it because it is one of the most natural nutrients and constituents that the body recognizes. It's natural. They used to call it thousands of years ago, and they still do. It's the food of the gods. That basically what it does, like there are many different kinds of hallucinogenic drugs, there are plant medicines, many things, and I won't go into that. But this is a natural form of stimulating the circulatory system and the heart, which connects to our emotions. And I've, you know, I have guided many ceremonies like that. And it's really powerful because it really initiates the individual to begin to open that part of them. As you mentioned, when you're in the sound healing, most of us are not in touch with our emotions. Or if we get in touch with them, we get the old message, well, that's not really productive. Stuff it. Big boys don't cry. Big girls don't cry. You know, so we were conditioned to push our emotions down and to drive on. And that's great. It has purpose in our life. But if we push the emotions down and never feel them, that's when we get into a dysfunctional patterns of behavior because we're not expressing a natural part of ourselves. It's like children. Kids, they tell you exactly what they feel in the moment they feel it. And then 2 seconds later, I'm good. You know, so if we learn to do that in a more structured way, I mean, in an adult way, very powerful. So a lot of this happens during cacao ceremony, you know, like you said, ecstatic dance. Just get up and move your body. Doesn't even have to be ecstatic. You know, just move out of your comfort zone for a moment. You know, like when I was growing up, for me, to dance meant I held a beer on the sideline and I tapped my foot and watched everybody. I didn't participate. And I thought, wow, I'm really missing out. But the part of me that was a perfectionist said, well, you're not going to do it unless it's perfect. That's the worst thing that can happen. You know, where now I don't care. I get out and move. I feel, I express. And I encourage others to do the same. You know, I do full moon ceremonies. I do new moon ceremonies because I think one of the most beautiful things that we as humans can begin to do is to reconnect to the elements, earth, water, wind, fire, and ethers in very basic ways. I mean, be connected with water. The next time you drink your water, just be conscious of what you're doing. It's giving me life. Gratitude. Thank you. So all the ceremonies, no matter what you call them, prepare a sacred space for you to enter into. And like I said, drinking a glass of water can be very sacred. You know, I don't mean you do it every single time because, you know, if we do that with everything we do, our whole life is, I mean, we don't have that big of a life. But to bring it into your state of awareness as often as you can, or you sit down for a meal with friends, just stop for a moment and look around you. Look at your friends. Look at the food. The people who prepared it. Where did it come from? Just for a moment. I mean, you don't have to go into some long process, but begin to feel that state of awareness, something greater than yourself. That's love. It's unconditional love because somebody prepared it. Someone grew it. Someone had it as a seed and planted it. So, I mean, you get where I'm going with this. So ceremony, whether it's cacao, sacred sound healing, a fire ceremony, a chinupa ceremony, which is a Native American pipe ceremony, ecstatic dance, you know, they're all sacred in their own way. And the real key is how do you engage it? How do you bring your level of awareness to what's happening? That teaches you love.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Yes. Do you have any routines, like daily routines in your life to live the best version of yourself?
You know, I do and I don't. I did for years. I had formal meditation that I would sit and I had literally a little altar set up. When I mean an altar, it doesn't mean religion. Altar that I had set up meant there were pieces of memorabilia, things that really meant something to me, and created that sense of awareness, of beauty, of love. Could have been it was a picture of someone I loved, picture of an ascended spiritual master or guru, or it could have been a flower that someone gave me that really meant something to me. So I had that formally for many years. And I really invite people to do that, you know, whether it's a small little place in the corner of your room that really feels powerful, feels important. You know, when you're in your house, most of us sense that there's a place that you like to sit most often or spend your time. It's what we call a power place. It's your place of power. Creates this beautiful field of energy. And when you're doing, you know, you're sitting at your altar, you can do a very simple meditation, breath work. And what I start people off with is just for 5 minutes, every couple of times during the week, or if you really feel good, once a day, sit down for 5 minutes in that power place. You don't have to have an altar, but sit in that place and follow your breath as best you can. Just follow it. Thought's going to come in. Be aware that the thought is present. Just don't follow it. Thank it. Come right back to your breath and breathe. Okay? And there are other forms of breath work that's more conscious, all the way into what's called Tibetan rebirthing, where you can literally rebirth yourself in a different way, but that's something very different. So to really begin and to start, create some sacred place in your home. Sit down for 5 minutes a day and be mindful. Be present. And another way of doing it is create a gratitude list every day when you come home. Take a little book dedicated only to it. What am I grateful for today? You know, my boyfriend did this for me, or someone smiled in a way that it really touched me. I don't know why, but I'm grateful for that. Thank you. Because what happens is when we start seeing the gratitude more and more and more and more, guess what? We get more and more and more and more. But the purpose is not about, can I get more? The real purpose and the underlying part of it is, how do I express who I am? And gratitude is part of it. Connects me to love. A couple of ways.
And do you live in peace? Are you totally in peace with your past and with everything you've experienced, or is there something you want to lose or you want to dive in to change?
Good question. For the most part, I've had enough experiences in life, experiences that has really shown me that all of my life is a gift. The pain, the suffering, the joy, the excitement. I'll share just a brief story that really helped me anchor that about 2 years ago. And I'm always still on a journey. Am I happy 24/7? I'm in this state of bliss? No. Some mornings I wake up and go, oh, really? Most mornings I wake up just bright-eyed and it's like, okay, you know? But the experience that I had was with a woman that I knew. And I knew she built beautiful websites. She was living in India. We became friends here. And I said, you know, I really need a website built. She said, I can do that. No problem. I said, okay. So I decided I'll bring you into Bali, back from India. I'll pay all of it. Would you do it? Yes, I'll do that. And for that 30 days, the first 2 weeks went by and nothing happened. And I'm like, what? I mean, I brought you here. I spent all this money. What are you doing? Well, I'm working on my other clients. I'm doing this, that, and the other. And I'm like, and I'm really getting angry. It's like, how dare you? You know, I paid for you to come here on my dime. So I realized at that moment, okay, Kevin, something's going on here. But I didn't really know exactly what. And so another week went by. And she says, I want to do an interview with you. I said, okay, let's do an interview. She goes, that way it'll give me all of the things I need to know about you, your presence, your energy, how you articulate and all of this, and I can be with you. Great. So she came and we spent almost 5 hours. And into about the fourth hour, I was sharing all of my experiences, the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful. And in a moment of grace, I entered into a state of grace. And when it happens, I usually get tearful. Because when I'm in that deep depth and level of love, I can't put words to it. It's what happens. I just tear up. And she's crying because she can feel it. And in that moment, I knew with every cell of my being how loved I was and am to have been given all of those experiences, to see their beauty, to see all these kinds and aspects of love in my humanness. And it was really interesting because she was here for another week, didn't write one word, didn't create one piece of the website. And what did it do for me? I realized why I brought her here. It was that 5-hour interview. And I called her, and she goes, I feel bad. I'm going to have to carry this on my shoulders. Oh, all this stuff. And we were supposed to meet, and we got crossed. She went to the wrong place. I went to the wrong place. And I really sat with it. And then we finally ended up meeting at the right place. And I looked at her, and I said, you know what? I love you. Thank you very much for being in my life. I release you from anything and any contract that I've asked you to do. Provide me with a receipt for the money I spent you. I release you. You gave me what it was that I needed, and I didn't know it. And she's like, really? I don't owe you any money? All this. She's still in that sort of human world. And it's like, yeah. And that love just, I said, thank you. And even to this day, I have no shred of angst about it. About her, I am so gratefully blessed that it happened because I couldn't have seen it any other way.
Thank you for sharing. It's amazing. Do you have a vision for your future, or do you live like, or as an observer, how life unfolds? I mean, do you have specific goals or a specific vision?
Not really. I do and I don't. For me, one of the barometers of joy and love in my life is seeing people such as yourself asking these questions, opening your hearts to one another, to your loved one, to your spouse, to your partner. That to me is life-giving. Do I still in my humanness see a future? Yes, or more of us do this, where I meet those who wish to meet me so that I can help them understand something greater than what they understand in that moment. And don't get me wrong, because when someone opens themselves and I'm a part of it and I'm given the beautiful opportunity to see it, we're all connected. We're all of one. So I walk away almost always as grateful as the person is that received something. Because they think oftentimes it's the one giving it or holding that space has all of these answers. Yeah, on some level we do, some answers. But we're also learning. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. And if there's really, there are two things that I sort of guide my own life by. It's two things. One is when I'm afraid of something, an experience or an event, and there's no logical reason for it, I have to meet it. What is it there to teach me? What is it there to help me remember? Okay, because ultimately all of these experiences are asking us to remember our divine state. I'm whole and perfect just as I am, no matter what I do. Okay, so are you. So are all the people who are watching you. It's simply a waking up to that, that process. So, yeah. That's one, is when I touch into fear. Okay. Now, if I'm fearful because of my life and I'm in a dangerous situation, remove myself. Okay. Get out of it. That's not what I'm talking about. The other is when I see, feel, and sense the frequency of love. I know what it feels like when it's present. You know what it's like when it's present. It gives you a warm feeling in your heart. You feel this sense of this nurturing. You know when you're in it. We all do. Is when I see and meet that, I have to meet it, no matter how it shows up. Is meet it. Because that's when love itself co-creates. And I believe that's what unconditional love wants. It's us to come together, touch our woundedness, but yet go beyond it and express and live life as present as we can. Okay? The moment of now. If we can do that, this whole world will begin to shift.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I have a last question, which I ask every of my podcast guests. Mm-hmm. And it's, imagine I'm coming to you and I will give you a white postcard. And you can write on this postcard your three most powerful wisdoms of your life. And the postcard will reach like every person on this planet. And it will be or will arrive like the bedside cabinet that every person will be like remembered every morning and every evening about your three wisdoms. What would you write down on this postcard?
Three words. And it's one of two statements. You are love, or I love you. Those are my three wisdoms. You know, because they animate everything.
Yes.
Yeah, it's simple. And that's, see, as human beings, we think it needs to be complicated. It's really not. And, you know, one of the things I have learned over the course of my lifetime and many of my experiences is we make it more difficult than it needs to be. It's okay. Until we don't.
Yes. Thank you so much, Kevin.
You're welcome.
When there's someone who wants to connect with you or learn from you, you wrote a book. I don't know if one or more. I think one is in plan. Yeah, maybe you can tell a little bit where someone can find you.
Sure. I can be found on Facebook. And it's kevin.westrich.96. Or just look up Kevin Westrich, you'll find me. Instagram is Westrich, Westrich, the letter K.
I will put it in the show notes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. dot 96, I think it is. No, just for Instagram, it's Westrich K is my Instagram. And my book is on Amazon, all of the ebooks. It's also an audiobook, my first one. And it's called Trust, Patience, Surrender. And it's really about my journey, my spiritual awakening, leaving the corporate world, near-death experience, all of those things. And I'm now very, very full on writing my next book. Tons. And it'll probably be done within the next 6 months by the time I start and finish, about 50 pages into it. And it's going to be entitled, its title is C, S-E-E. Basically, those who have eyes will see. Those who have ears who are ready will hear. And I want to leave you with one thing. Whatever I share with you that I believe is truth for me, what I ask someone to do is to weigh the words of what I share. Are they your truth or not? Not because they're mine, but because I will know that you will use them to allow them to resonate and you find in yourself that which resonates as truth. You know, it's all about how can we empower the other through the place of love. That's all there is.
Thank you so much for your time, for everything, Kevin. It's such a pleasure to meet you, to speak with you, and that you share all your knowledge, your experiences. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thank you for being open and really continuing this journey, because oftentimes it's not easy, okay? Because we have to face certain things to really help us to see more love. But it gets easier.
Day by day.
And it's, day by day. And it's really wonderful to see, people such as yourselves really wanting to know this, to know these things. It's basically to know thyself. How do we make a better world? So thank you as well.
Thank you. Ich freue mich, dass du bis zum Ende zugehört hast. Ich hoffe, dass du ganz viel für dich mitnehmen konntest. Und vielleicht hast du ein, zwei Routinen, die du neu in deinen Alltag integrieren möchtest, um mehr in Frieden mit dir zu sein, um diese Liebe einfach wirklich zu fühlen, die uns alle umgibt. Und ich freue mich einfach, wenn du für dich rausgehst, wenn du deine beste Version von dir selbst erschaffst und einfach voller Liebe und Dankbarkeit in die Welt rausgehst und einfach dein Bestes gibst und dein Leben so erschaffst, wie du es gerne möchtest. Vielen, vielen Dank für deine Zeit, vielen Dank für dein Vertrauen und ich wünsche dir nur das Beste, pass auf dich auf, achte auf deine Worte, achte auf deine Gedanken und nourish your mind and body wisely, deine Anna.